from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So let's bring James here. James of the Insiders, James Hamm of the Insiders, while he covers the Sacramento Kings very extensively for us here on D'Lo and KC. He is a talk show host. He does love professional football, as well as the San Francisco 49ers. So I want to bring James into this conversation before we shift to the Kings and ask you, what is the crux of your concern? Just their ability to do it again, or their ability to be better than they were last year?
The ability to not only repeat that, but actually finish it this time. And there is sports references to that being able to be done. I think when I think about this situation, Jesse, when I think about the 2003 Red Sox, and there's maybe no more of a gut-wrenching loss than how they lost to the Yankees in that Game 7. Aaron Boone hits a home run. And I got to imagine Red Sox fans everywhere at that point, like, it's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just never going to happen. It doesn't get any closer than that. You were up, what were they up, 3-0 in the seventh?
I think something like that.
In that game, and they don't take out Pedro, and he gives up three. The Yankees were dead. You had them, and then you end up losing that game. And I'm sure Red Sox fans everywhere were like, it's never going to happen. And then the very next year, it happens. And you think about, like, basketball-wise, the Spurs against the Heat, obviously they had won some before that. But the way they lost to the Heat with the Ray Allen shot, they went back up to the mountaintop and got it done. Kobe with the Lakers getting beat down by the Celtics, they went back to the mountain. So those are all different than football. I understand that. But those are sports examples of being able to take a gut-wrenching loss like that and bounce back. And I don't know if that's what's going to happen here this year.
Real quick, I feel like a difference with those teams too, though, is that, like, the Red Sox lost once to the Yankees, like the 100 years or whatever you want to call it. That's different teams and all that, but they lost once to the Yankees, then got it over the next year. Like, the Lakers won the title the next year or whatever. The Niners have been at this for like 4 or 5 seasons. Like, I wonder how much, like, that matters.
That's true, but I thought last year was the year. That's why I'm only looking at that year. I'm like, that was the one, and to lose that one was tough.
James, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you have to worry. Like, first of all, I think the Niners will be fine. Like, I get that, like, historically it's tough for a team to lose a Super Bowl, come back the next year, and get right back there. But you got to be concerned that they're turning into the Buffalo Bills of the 90s at this point, where they can get there, but they can't get over the hump. And to me, like, look, this is the most talented team in the NFL. I don't think it's even all that close. But that doesn't matter, because there's one player out there that can beat anyone on any given day, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And the league is basically, they moved away from one guy who was like this in Tom Brady, and all of a sudden another one popped up, And so everyone in the league is on notice that, like, look, it doesn't matter how good you are. You have to be so spectacular on one given day and then hope that that guy doesn't have the ball with a minute left and, you know, within striking distance. And that's tough. Like, I don't think the 49ers have anything to be ashamed of or anything else. But I do think, like, there's this, like, huge issue that's standing against you. And I don't think it's, like, getting the monkey off your back or whatever term you want to, you know, to break through. It's just realistically, if you're in the Super Bowl and you're matched up against Patrick Mahomes, you're in for it, and you better be ready to play all the way up until the last snap. And the 49ers have, you know, unfortunately, have fallen short.
Yeah, I understand. I'm looking at this from a little bit of a different perspective than you. And yes, the 49ers absolutely fell short. They didn't win the Super Bowl last year. They lost on the last play of overtime. Like a play where I legitimately didn't know what happened next. Like when he snapped the ball, I had no clue what would happen if they didn't score. I didn't know, do they switch sides? Do they just keep going? Like what do the 49ers, like what is about to happen? So they lost to a team that at this point is a dynasty, and I think the thing that I keep getting hung up on, and this is a bit semantics a little bit, but there's a reason I'm thinking this way, talking about the 49ers being better than they were last year. Like, how can they be better? They don't have to be. They just need to be better once. They need to be better in one game. They don't need to be, and I can't remember what, they don't need to be 15-2. They need to be better in one single game than they were last year. So if they wind up trugging through the regular season, if they look like ass when the playoffs get here, but they get wins, if Christian McCaffrey's not winning awards and Brock Purdy's getting a ton of hate, but you get to the destination, you only have to be better in that one single game. And you can get to that Super Bowl going, this team is not better than last year's. And they win that one game, and it does not matter because they won that game.
Yeah, facts. That's facts. I even look at the whole thing. That's the great thing about football, and that's the frustrating thing about football for me sometimes, is I hear everything that James is saying about Patrick Mahomes or whatever the case may be. I look at it like they played in a 7-game series. Niners probably winning 6, even with how good Patrick Mahomes is. But they don't. Right, it's just the one game, and that's, like I said, that's the beautiful thing about it. It's also the most frustrating thing, because I don't want to do the best team didn't win or whatever the case may be. But when you get in one game settings, those things happen. Like I think the best team on that day is the one that wins. You know what I mean? Like I don't even know if Kansas City was quote unquote better than Baltimore, but all they had to do was beat them one time, and they did it, and that's, Baltimore might have been the best team in football. You know what I mean? They beat the hell out of the Niners. They might have been the best team in football. But in football, you just got to figure out how to get it done for 60 minutes.
Yeah, but when you do it repeatedly like the Chiefs have, it's not a one-off. It's not a one-on-one. It's a trend. And they just keep doing it. And so, you know, like Ramsey in the chat mentions Tampa Bay gave the blueprint on how to beat Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, you had Tom Brady. Like, that might be the blueprint. Outside of that, like, look, you know, the 49ers have a lot to prove. Brock Purdy has a lot to prove. I mean, he's going into his third NFL season, but really it's his second true season as a starting quarterback. And like he, like so many others out there, have a ton to prove. I mean, he's not the only one that has this sort of, you know, thing hanging over him that he hasn't won the big one. You know, look at how many Dak Prescott can't even win a first round game most of the time. You know, Brock Purdy has more career playoff wins than Dak Prescott. But you can say that about a lot of other quarterbacks too. Like Josh Allen can't figure out how to get the big win. You know, Lamar Jackson can't figure out how to get the big win. Like, you don't figure out how to get the big win because there's somebody who's really, really good at the game of football that sneaks up and beats all these dudes. And that's, it is what it is. Like, you have to figure out how to stop him. And that has absolutely nothing to do with Brock Purdy on most fronts. somebody on the defensive side of the ball has to figure out how to stop that guy. It can't be, hey, Brock, we need you to have a 58-minute time of possession today, and we need you to score every single time, and then we got to hope that Patrick Mahomes doesn't score 6 touchdowns in 48 seconds. Mm. I mean, that's the way the NFL is kind of right now.
He'll lose at some point, though. I mean, he already has lost. Like, he's not beatable. Yeah. Burrow got him at home with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So you can beat him. You just got to, when you have opportunities, you got to take advantage. Mm-hmm. If you don't, he's shown that he'll come back and get you. But you can get to him. You can get to the team. I'm saying Mahomes, but you can get to the Chiefs team. They make you pay if you don't. Tampa Bay took advantage of every opportunity. Cincinnati took advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, and I worry about the idea of the 49ers and the Chiefs again, because there's no way it's not in their head. On both fronts, like mm-hmm. the 49ers. But if I'm Kansas City, you don't say it publicly, but privately.
They'd have no fear. They'd have no worries.
This. They do not want this. Mm. Yeah, so that's but it's one of the great things about football. Thank you, Mark. Mark just sent $20 into the abyss.
Hey, can we?
Well, let's answer his question.
We change the account number. I got
I got a card that we can put that on now.
I got to figure out how to do that.
Let's just drop our Venmos in the description.
I think he did
that yesterday for us. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate you. Odyssey is very thankful. We should do at least answer his question. Should the Kings have kept any of the following? Nemi, Wainan, or Dante?
I think he's talking about DiVincenzo, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nemias Keita, is Wainan Gabriel, or Dante DiVincenzo? It's a $20 question right there.
Yeah, yes, no, yes.
No, yes. So we had a rather humorous call earlier from our man Lewis, who was talking about Nemias Keita. This actually, we should... Let's start with Rob Williams, because that's what started all of this. A line in a write up about the Kings have expressed interest in Rob Williams, and you know you've got about 25 on the books for Rob Williams over the next 2 years, backup center. Your thoughts on Rob Williams? Have you heard any rumors about this outside of what we learned today? Like, is this realistic? Is it worth it? What's your opinion here on this Rob Williams note that dropped today?
Yeah, so like for me, I haven't heard anything on this front. I actually haven't been digging on it either. This was sort of like a rumor that was snuck in like 2 months ago, and just like, hey, the Kings might be one of the teams that are interested. So I don't know if it's being regurgitated. I also don't know the author at all, and that's why not to be disrespectful, but like I got to vet who it is it's putting it out there into the world. For me, this is a supremely talented young player who does a lot of things that the Kings could really use. He's long, he's athletic, he can defend the perimeter as a big. He would be a perfect lob threat for Malik Monk. On the downfall, number one, he can't play with Sabonis, really. He, like, throughout his career, he's taken 4 3-point shots and missed all 4 of them. So he can't space the floor. He doesn't space the floor as, like, a mid-range jump shooter either. This is a guy who's pretty limited on the offensive end and is stellar defensively. I mean, there was a point a couple of years ago where he was 7th in Defensive Player of the Year and second-team All-NBA defensive team. Mm. Look, if you could get him for cheap, like, why not take a gamble? But that's what it is. It's a huge gamble. I mean, he played 6 games last year, I think it is. Mm-hmm. He's missed major time in multiple seasons, and these aren't because he broke a finger or, you know, had a shoulder injury or something. He's missed major time due to knee injuries. Yeah. And so I'm a little apprehensive about moving what would be, you know, in order to get him, you're going to have to come up with something. So whether it's Trey Lyles and going over the cap, or it's Kevin Huerter and maybe taking on another contract from Portland, mm-hmm. like this, it would be a gamble. And I'm not sure that it's something that just fits so perfectly that you, you would say, yeah, that's the right solution here. That's the answer. So again, it's like my friend Kyle said earlier on the Insiders, if we're going to bash on guys like Lauri Markkanen or Brandon Ingram because they can't stay on the court enough, this is a guy who can't stay on the court at all. And the Kings have become one of the teams in the league that lead the league in fewest games missed every year, and it's because they don't have a player like this on their roster. So I love the idea of Robert Williams, and I think he has one of the great nicknames in the game. But I don't know that I like the practicality of it.
Well, the difference between those two guys, though, clearly is the price. Like, you give up Markkanen and Ingram, you're giving up potential future stars on your team or whatever the case may be. The Rob Williams price, well, maybe you're still giving up future stars, because if you give up a 2031 second rounder,
it's a big
deal.
Then,
you know, I mean, that's
well, if you give up the second rounder after the pick swap, what are you going to do, man? 2031 is just
so maybe that's a potential star as well. But no, it's like I would like to take a chance on him. I don't know if the Kings are in the position asset-wise to pay what I think me and you both think would be comfortable paying, which is virtually nothing, you know, or a dumping a salary or a guy that isn't in your rotation and you don't necessarily have plans for to bring in Rob Williams. You talk about a Trey Lyles, you talk about, you know, Keon Ellis, you talk about either even an Alex Lynn. I wouldn't be willing to trade any of those guys for Rob Williams just because of his uncertainty with his health. So I guess they just don't have that type of guy anymore. Like Sasha would have been perfect. You know what I mean? Sasha would have been a guy that you had no plans for, you're ready to move on from, and you use him to get a guy like Rob Williams. They don't have that Sasha-type player that matches the salary or comes close to it. I don't think on that roster. Is that about right, James?
Yeah, they as of today, they don't have like a straight up player that would make sense, right? Now you could wait 60 days and from the day of the trade, which is only like 30 days from now, and you could trade McDaniels and Trey Lyles and do like a straight up swap, because that would be right around the same money.
Gotcha. So real quick, James. So you do have to wait some time before you could trade McDaniels. That's what, because we mentioned McDaniels, but we weren't sure if there was a time limit. That's like the December 6th day or whatever, 15th, that we always circle. But it's just 60 days from the trade. And like you said, it's that 60 days will be up well before the start of the season, huh?
Yeah, that 60 days, we're already at like 24 days in. So basically, when a player is traded, you can instantly turn around and trade him again. But you can't trade him again in aggregate, which means you can't attach another player to him, right? And like, look, I think there are other ways to clear cap space. We've talked about this before, but there's also this thing out there that you can trade your mid-level exception to a like basically for nothing. Mm-hmm. So and Robert Williams fits into the mid-level exception. He's got 2 years left, and his contract for this year is like $12.4 million. The problem is the Kings are hard capped at $78 million. Mm-hmm. So if they could drop below, like, say, $64 million, they could drop down and shave $5 million off their salary right now. Mm-hmm. Then they could actually just say, we'll give you, Portland, we'll give you 2 second-round picks and accept them into our mid-level exception. But that would require some work. So there are some things that the Kings could do here to make the money work. They could also, like, the problem is if you don't match salaries here in a trade or come really close to it, then the Kings are going to be over the luxury tax and they'll be a tax team. So it's complicated, but if you're really motivated to make this move, I think you probably could. You could probably offer a team a second round pick for in Jalen McDaniels and have him go into somebody else's biannual exception where you're not getting anything back from them and you're just sending somebody out to move salary. And then boom, all of a sudden you might have the money to free up to go make a trade. Or you could see if they would take Herter and roll the dice and see if that makes sense to you. Maybe Herter and something else, and you throw in something. You know, there's ways to balance this thing out. But again, just remember the idea of Robert Williams and the reality of Robert Williams are two totally different things when it comes to a guy with like a long, long history of knee injuries.
Does Rob Williams make sense to you? Or I'm sorry, dump that. Does Rob Williams for Kevin Herter make sense to you?
That's really tough because like if you were getting, you know, the Time Lord, sure. But I don't think you are. So that would be a tough pull because I think Kevin Herter is an asset you might be able to use to get something bigger down the road. And I also think Kevin Herter could be a really valuable piece to your team because you're going to need some 3-point shooting. So yeah, tough.
This is not going to, I feel like you could use the same sentence that you just used with Rob Williams with Kevin Herter. The idea of Kevin Herter might actually be better than Kevin Herter.
And yeah,
it's for different reasons. It's not for the same reason. It's for different reasons, and I understand that. I don't know. I'm expecting a lot from Kevin Herter this year. I think Kevin Herter is very, very capable this year. But I also understand people who would say, the idea of like Kevin Herter. I would understand if someone said Kevin's closer to what we saw last year than what we saw the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't agree.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't agree, but I wouldn't fight with someone who said that.
Statistically speaking, they'd be right. I mean, throughout his career, he averaged just under like 12 points a game before he got to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Then he goes up to 15.3 or 15 point whatever it was. And this year he dropped down to 10.6, whatever.
He's like literally right in the middle. Like his career is basically in the middle of these two extreme years with Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes in order to, I don't know, to shake things up, you do need to go out there and do something that just like reshapes your roster. It would give you a true power forward slash center combo. He's more of a center, but if you had him play with a guy like Trey Lyles, where Trey Lyles is stretching the floor and he's roaming underneath, it might work. But it's tough because the injuries are just such a red flag. And I almost don't want to be the team that like gambles on it. Although at this point, it's a $25 million gamble. If it didn't work out in year one and you know this guy's not going to play and you can't trade him the next season, you could always stretch provision and, you know, just break his contract up into $4 million over, you know, $4 million for three straight years or something.
I'd want to take a chance on Rob Williams. Like I said, the price has to be right. The price has to be right. But the upside, if it's just a situation where, you know, he had some nagging injuries early. They've got him fixed. Maybe you got confidence in your training staff, a la Grant Hill in Phoenix, a la Sean Livingston in Golden State, and you can keep him healthy. And the other thing about that, too, is his workload wouldn't be as great as it was in Boston. He's a backup, and maybe you could preserve him a little bit more that way. If he can play, he was a game changer in Boston. He was an absolute game changer. And he, like you said it earlier, he fits a need that you have in that front court. So once again, it's all about the price. If the price is right, Drew Carey and Bob Barker, if the price is right, I'd take a chance.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But I also think that there are players out there that with less of a risk that have equal to or higher than ceiling. And again, I think where I would kind of stop is with when it comes to including Herter, because I think Herter is a trade chip and not only a trade chip, but a player, a player that might actually really help you when you went out and signed a really good, but 35 year old who doesn't shoot the three. You probably need as much shooting on this roster as possible to go around him.
If you prioritize the position, and we'll stay in the caliber of player that Rob Williams is, would you go another backup big? If you thought, like, I will add one more to the Kings from this tier of player, is that the direction you would go?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's got to be someone. Well, I mean, the perfect.
You probably want someone at the 4-5.
Yeah, a 4-5 that can shoot the ball though. And well, I don't know. Like, this is a really, really good, you know, really, really good defensive player. Like, it's kind of like last year you went out and, like, late in the offseason, you signed JaVale McGee. And, you know, there's a couple of problems. Number one, like, the age thing and years of service, all that stuff. Like, JaVale McGee, the idea of him was probably he wasn't anywhere near what the idea was. But I bring him up because, like, if you looked at 26-year-old JaVale McGee, it's kind of, you know, they're very impactful players. They're one-dimensional on the offensive end. And on the defensive end, I think Robert Williams is one of the most versatile players that you can possibly get for a big man as far as defensively. I mean, he's all over the court, and he has an ability to really, really defend. So, but you know, it doesn't matter how good of a defender he is. If he can't stay on the court, that doesn't matter.
It's so. Olympic gold medalist JaVale McGee, by the way. Multi-time NBA champion JaVale McGee.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I was just wondering because I can't say that another big was really on my radar. I was thinking more of guys like who can stretch and shoot, but I completely understand the idea. I didn't even know. Yeah, I didn't know Rob Williams was out there like that, though. Anything on Portland makes sense, just like anything on Washington makes sense. I feel like Detroit has a direction just without a leader. I don't really know what Detroit's doing. But, yeah, it just wasn't on my radar. Kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I'll listen, but not optimistic on that one.
Yeah.
No.
Not optimistic on that one at all. Though I don't know what Portland's looking for either. I mean, there's probably a million ways that you could dissect this. Like, what is Portland trying to do? And that's always the number one thing is, like, what direction is the team that has this? Where are they going? And that's the thing Casey and I got stuck on earlier is we both really like the players on the Portland Trailblazers and agree they're probably the worst team in the conference. Roster-wise, it does not feel like they should be that, but roster-wise, in terms of them as individuals, the individual players, it doesn't feel like they should be the worst team in the Western Conference. But I don't know that anyone doesn't think that they will be or won't be. You know what I mean?
They're going to struggle for sure. And they've got talent, but again, the talent there versus, say, like the talent in Houston.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Where the talent in Houston is shown like major development,
mm-hmm.
where we're still waiting to see what Shaedon Sharpe is going to be. We're still waiting to see what Scoot's going to be, right? I think we have a better idea of what Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün and, you know, name that player in even Jabari Smith Jr., you know, Cam Whitmore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we have a better idea of what those players are than what Portland has to as far as young players at this point. And then there's all this, you know, rumor and innuendo that they're, no one expects Anfernee Simons and Jeremy Grant to be on the team by the start of training camp. Mm-hmm. And they think that they're going to shop all those guys. And so, like, yeah, what direction are you going in? What exactly is happening here? How do you get out of this mess that you've created for mm-hmm. yourself? And they're really high salary wise. They're at $164 million. They're only a few million underneath the luxury tax. And and then, you know, we would think that they're trying to build, you know, the base and start young and you know, build through the draft. But then they go out and I know he is young, Denny Avija, but they went out and traded two first round picks for Denny Avija. And it's like, well, if you're starting and you're trying to build, what are you doing making that move? What are you doing making the Ayton move? You know what I mean? You're kind of confused with the identity of the roster. And that's something like, it's very Sacramento Kings-esque from like 2007 to 2018.
Don't ever
very
go.
All over the board.
Don't ever go 2007, 18 Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I just thought about too with reason why they may be moving on for Robert Williams, I forgot they drafted Klingon at center. So you got and Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do with Rob Williams?
Yeah, send him to Sacramento for a second round pick swap in 2031.
There we go.
We'll come back.
That's a little, when I said at the right price.
Okay.
Come on now.
My bad.
Settle down. That's a little too rich for my blood, as they like to say.
We'll come back. We'll talk more with James Hamm here as Dylan and Casey continue on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Man, these people who make push notifications alert, they're sharp. They make me, like, I want to click.
Who got you this time?
People.
Oh.
People magazine says how one man survived a shark attack and why he got back in the water. No, I'm very curious why this man got back in the water.
He said lightning can't strike twice.
He doesn't have a leg anymore. He really down there with these sharks.
Oh, man.
Ma, he one of them military guys. He a tough dude. Yeah, he go hard. Oh, my God. Does he not have an arm either?
Oh, my goodness.
Buddy, you lost your arm and leg, and you just went back into their house. Now, that little bionic arm he has looks pretty badass, though. But still,
it is Shark Week this week.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is Sharknado coming on?
Shout out to Modern Family. It's on right now.
Have you ever? Yes, it is.
Is John Cena doing Shark Week? Is he the one running Shark Week this time? I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. I saw a show with the guy who played Ant-Man, the black guy. What's his name?
The guy?
Or not Ant-Man. What's the guy? He's in Marvel. He's the Falcon, maybe? Is that what he did?
The black guy?
Yeah.
The guy who played Tupac?
Yes.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie.
That's right. Mackie.
Have you ever watched Sharknado?
Yeah, I did.
Me too.
I watched it and I was like, this is awful, but I'm glad I saw it.
Sharknado has to be like one of the first, if not the first, like social media movie where it came out and people saw it and so many people tweeted about it that whoever it was, re-aired it and like five times as many people watched it.
It was crazy.
I think the first one to really catch social media like that was Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. That feels a little pre-social media, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I feel like Snakes on a Plane was a movie theater one. Wasn't that in the movie theaters?
It was.
So it wasn't like, hey, we're going to re-air this. It was kind of... That's Samuel L. Jackson, isn't it Snake on a Plane?
I'm thinking of it. That was 2006. I think I'm thinking of a different black snake.
What?
Yeah, black, yeah,
whoa.
Black,
hey.
Black
hey.
Snake.
Yo.
No, there's
What's
a,
this guy talking about? Yo.
Black Snake Moan is the other Samuel L. Jackson movie that came out in 2006.
Play on.
No. What? I ain't even going to ask you what the title is again.
The
no,
movie's
I'm not
called
doing that.
Black Snake Moan, and it's starring Samuel L. Jackson.
Hey.
And Justin Timberlake.
Come on, man. Hey.
He ran out of bounds, but he made his way back onto the field, okay?
The film made $10 million on a $15 million budget.
Boy, that thing
was on the cart path. Go ahead and swing away. Go ahead and swing away.
Somebody get these damn snakes off of this damn plane.
I don't remember that.
That's exactly what he said. Mother... Leap and snakes on a
Sharknado was amazing. They had sharks falling out of the sky eating people. Oh, it was spectacular.
That was a crazy
absolutely
movie.
Spectacular. Mm-hmm. You had to be there. I need to see
one that was like that was I don't think it lasted the impact didn't last as long as Sharknado, but the Sandra Bullock when she was blind or not blind but blindfolded.
The Bird. What was that movie
the bird.
Called?
It was The Bird.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
The Bird?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's...
Bird Nest.
It's Bird something.
Bird Cage.
Maybe.
I swear to God, we're useless sometimes. We are so freaking useless.
And I'm like, yeah, it was called The Bird.
Morris Day. That's what it was called. It's called Morris Day in the Time.
Do you remember the movie with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Dang it.
A lot of people were... like intrigued by that movie, and then they would watch it and they'd be like, this was stupid. But man, they went crazy on Netflix for about a week on that one.
Mm. Yeah, Birdcage was with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. Good call, Spectre.
You know how,
and it's a very different movie.
The YouTube users are going to be so pissed off when Jesse titles this something pertaining to the Kings, and we're talking about Bird Box.
Oh, it's going to be should the Kings make a move for like this big man? Or something
YouTube
like that.
User, yeah. Just know we know you're out there. They're going to be so pissed off at Jesse.
My favorite comments.
No.
Okay. All right. Enough of Sharknado. All right. So I guess we settled the Robert Williams discussion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing we did discuss earlier, though, I wonder what James got to say, is just where the Kings are at in relation to the West. Yesterday, I wanted to actually bring this up and talk to you guys about it. Yesterday, I asked Trista, a national outside of Sacramento Observer, although she with us, but still, like what you think. And she said, I believe that the Kings are locked into the top six. I think they're that good of a team. But she said, not so fast. And she talked about mostly... one of the big concerns is bringing DeMar DeRozan in, and that how does Keegan Murray react to that? That's basically what it was. Does he kind of shy away and fall back and kind of his production?
That was the anonymous executive's concern.
Right. Is that what happens with Keegan Murray, or they don't talk about the opposite, like he excels. But James, do you think that's a legit concern that maybe Keegan Murray, becomes even more passive?
Well, if he does, that's on him, in all honesty. Yeah. Like, he's got a – part of his maturation is not just, like, being better defensively or passing the ball better or jumping higher or hitting more shots. Part of his maturation is asking for the ball, demanding the ball, taking the ball and going in and making the most of your opportunities. Mm-hmm. So – I would say this. I think a lot of people were willing to wait around and see if Keegan Murray could deliver the Kings to the next level. Mm. And to me, that's crazy.
Mm.
I mean, that's I mean, really, it's like sending a droid out into space searching for Obi-Wan Kenobi and hoping that he can be your only hope. I mean, like,
don't understand, you know what I'm saying? That reference at all.
It's like, it's a Star Wars reference. No. I know. But like at the end of the day, like, you can't just like expect this 23-year-old kid to take another gigantic leap so big that it like it surpasses any loss that you might have had and makes you so much better. Mm. And when you bring in a guy like DeMar DeRozan, you basically just bought Keegan Murray another year or two to develop, right? You bought another year or two for him to become the player that you hope he's going to be. And last time I checked, DeMar DeRozan is 5 times the passer that Harrison Barnes ever dreamed of being. He's just so much better as a creator. And now you're going to walk into a game with 3 of your starting 5 averaging 5 assists or more. And so the beneficiary to that is clearly going to be a player like Keegan Murray, who's going to be so open all the time. And I don't know, did you guys see the George Nyang come unglued on Ben Simmons on the Richard Jefferson podcast? I don't know if you guys saw this, but
I didn't see this. This sounds hilarious.
Do to anybody?
No. Oh, he said Ben Simmons. I thought he said Ben Simmons.
No, on Ben Simmons.
That's not necessary.
Yeah, he sat. They asked him if there's a player that, you know, just really has got under your skin in your time in the league, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, like, I know this is kind of old news and stuff, but what Ben Simmons did to him and the Philadelphia 76ers, he said, that's just like, it's crazy. He's like, you know, George Nyang said he signed there very specifically because Ben Simmons was this great creator and he's a catch and shoot guy who shoots 40% from 3. And he's like, I'm signing up to go wander around the perimeter with wide open looks all day long and just launch. And then I get there and he's like, yeah, I don't want to play. And they're like, what do you mean you don't want to play? He's like, I just signed for barely over the league minimum and you don't want to play and you're making $35 million a year? And, you know, he went on to say like, hey, look, you know, he's a guy that if I go up against, again, like I might do something dirty. Like we might get in a fight.
All right, sure.
Like he's like, to leave your team and abandon your people like that. But my point is that having Ben Simmons, like the idea of Ben Simmons is incredible. He's such a phenomenal passer and draws so much attention, and it, you know, creates this sort of like shrinking of the court that shooters on the perimeter are going to be wide open playing with him. It's why I've also said like, hey, Kevin Huerter might be a perfect fit alongside DeMar DeRozan in either as a starter or coming in off the bench while playing with DeRozan. Like, DeRozan just has an ability to create a lot like Monk does, a lot like De'Aaron Fox does. And then you have this other guy who, you know, he's 4th, 5th in the league in assists, and DeMontis Sabonis. So I think Keegan Murray, actually, there's potential for him to have like unlimited wide open looks all season long.
Okay. Sorry
if I had to get there through George Nyang.
George Nyang needs to settle down.
Need to watch it. It's pretty spot on though.
Yeah, sure. But George Nyang is he's one missed shot away from being where Patrick Beverley is. Like, settled.
Well, they made Patrick Beverley an offer he couldn't refuse, sir. Which was an offer.
Maybe make the same one to George Nyang. Like, settled.
Which was to continue playing basketball.
Exactly. Like, in all seriousness, you know, I've rooted for this brother. Is Ben Simmons out of the league in a year?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, is Ben Simmons' career over in 1 year?
It depends on, in my opinion, it depends on what he's willing to, what contract he's willing to take. It's not going to be anything close to being lucrative or probably what he wants. It's going to be closer to the league minimum.
He's just going to sign 1 year deals
or something like that
moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no team will ever sign him to a multi-year contract.
Absolutely not. They barely sign him to a multi-game contract.
Well, here's the crazy thing. He just turned 28, and you could see him just, like, show up and be like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to play 75 games. And then everyone's like, man, he's only 28. Should we give him a – can we put him in the right situation? like, it's, this happens all the time in the league where people just keep getting shots, you know, in the league. And, you know, even the few games he did play last year, he still stuffs a stat sheet like crazy. So, you know, I'd be concerned about, you know, paying a guy who played 15 games last season. But, you know, the six rebounds, I mean, that 6 points, eight rebounds, six assists in 24 minutes a night, it still stands out, especially if he's a defender. Yeah, but he's going to have to reset, and I don't know. He's got 1 year to prove he belongs in the league still.
Well, and what Ben Simmons, right now he doesn't have to do anything because the money's guaranteed or whatever. But next offseason or spring or whenever his season ends, he's going to have to, I believe, I would probably advise him, you're going to have to start talking. Like, go on some podcasts, and we need to hear and see from you how much you want to continue playing this game. Like, I want to hear you say, you know, I'm really, you know, upset with the injury history. I really want to play. I think there's so much more left to my game. That's what I'd have to see to even think about signing
you. Let me ask you something. Why do you think we need to hear that, though?
Well, it's not me and you. It's the GMs.
But and then why can't he say that to the general managers as opposed to Paul George's podcast? Here's why I'm asking.
That's a good point.
Here's why I'm asking. Because that line of, well, we have to hear from you, reminds me of someone. Reminds me of Cap. For years, guys like Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, they went on their little radio shows. Well, we got to hear from Colin Kaepernick. Does he want to play football? He might just want to be an activist. He might want this. He might want that. Every general manager in the league knew exactly what he wanted. He didn't go on their stupid little radio shows to tell them what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was their problem. He didn't go on people's podcasts. He didn't create a podcast. I still don't think that man has spoken. But they knew what he wanted.
So if the general managers know, they know. I hear what you're saying. I'd advise Ben Simmons to go.
I hear you.
Somebody's going to play a podcast P and
just don't go on the Draymond Green show.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'd advise him to go talk. And at the very least, with him, and I understand some of the comparisons.
This was a while ago. He did a podcast with somebody. Mm. It might have been JJ.
I think it was JJ.
He did a podcast with somebody.
Yeah. I think it was JJ. But I'd advise him. I hear what you're saying.
No.
I'd say, that could help everything with your career.
You know, it would speak louder than him going in any podcast.
It was JJ.
JJ.
Yeah, if he went and played for the Australian national team or, you know, like Kyle and I talked about this yesterday, like, you know, DeMar DeRozan's out there playing in the Drew League.
Yeah, I'd feel like he'd catch heat if he played for the national team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at some point, like, you got to prove that you actually want to play basketball. Yeah,
no, I understand that. But I feel like right now, because of the position he's in right now, he has to do that in the league. Mm. Like, he can't do it anywhere else. Like, he has to, like, show in the league, because if he goes to Australia and plays and then comes back and something happens in training camp, God forbid, then it's like, oh, this guy. No, if you're going to go down in the league and then figure everything else out later.
I don't know. I kind of feel what Ham is saying.
Like, I think he'd catch major heat if he played for the Australian national team.
I think the Ham just kind of touched on it a little bit. I don't think. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are plenty of people that get upset with him because of his injuries. Mm-hmm. But even more than that, there's just a big question about whether or not he even cares about playing basketball.
Absolutely.
And you go and play in Australia. Like, okay, at least I can see a glimmer that he wants to play basketball. If his back isn't right and he gets hurt, that's something that's out of his control.
But if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan and you see him playing in Australia, aren't you feeling it some type of way?
I mean, I wouldn't. If he's cleared to play now, if he wasn't cleared to play or wasn't able to play in February, then that's one thing. If he was cleared to play in June and he's going out and playing with the national team.
So you don't think they're going to say, bro, we're paying you $35 million. I pay your salary to come play here and you over there playing for pride? You don't think that's a thing?
I mean, maybe, but the question isn't his health in that situation. It's him wanting to play. So if he comes back to Brooklyn and he's healthy and is just like, I just don't feel right, I don't want to play, Now you're like, all right, now you're duping me a little bit. Because before you were hurt, you had x-rays, you had doctors saying, like, this is what's going on. You went out and played. All right, you showed that you can play. Come back and do the same thing here in Brooklyn. I don't have a problem with you playing. I just want to make sure when you get back to Brooklyn, you're doing the same thing.
All right, well, we don't agree. None of us.
I think the question is,
James and KC coming up tomorrow, and I'll just do the insiders with Kyle.
There it is. The Ben Simmons 4-hour marathon.
Call it all jacked up like they did at 95.7.
Jacked up. That was good.
It was brought to you by Jack's Restaurant. It was brilliant.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
It was brilliant. All right. How did we get to Ben Simmons? How did we get there?
Oh, that was my fault. I talked about George Niang.
Okay.
No, I was talking about like having someone who will set you up. That's what I you know.
Oh, and then I ran with it because I asked if Ben Simmons is going to be out of the league.
Yeah. But just think next year, Ben Simmons, if he would take a league minimum deal, put him in the starting lineup alongside DeMar DeRozan, alongside Keegan Murray. I'm just kidding.
At this point, I just hope Ben can play a season in the NBA. I'll talk about national team and Drew League. Get through this year. Because there is absolutely nothing, or take that back, I'm sorry. There's very little in Ben Simmons' history that says he's going to get through this entire year.
Oh, nothing in his, yeah.
But tough, I hope he could do it.
Tough look.
Just as I hope Joel Embiid could do it. Yep. And I guess this is the new thing. Someone doesn't play, and then it's put out. No. Joel Embiid playing versus Puerto Rico.
Is that out?
It's right here. Embiid to start next game. Joel to play versus Puerto Rico after DNP CD on Wednesday.
So here's the other thing about that real quick. Now we kind of see, at least people have a feel for what Steve Kerr seems to be doing. Seems to be strictly based on matchups. And if it's strictly based on matchups, obviously it didn't feel like this South Sudan game was a good matchup for Joel.
Well,
the next one would be a better one.
Which you called at the beginning of the game. This appears to be Steve's quote. This is the fastest team in the tournament we're going to play. We wanted to match up. They play 14 threes against us in London. They made 14 threes against us in London. The whole game was going to be about switching and staying in front of people. We talked about that at the beginning of the game, that Joel is probably a little too slow to play the way that this South Sudan team plays.
So now that we know that seems to be how that coaching staff is going about it, it's a little bit more digestible, I guess.
LeBron, Steph, Book, Drew, and Joel will start versus Puerto Rico on Friday.
They play Friday? I thought they played Sunday.
I got Friday in the tweet. I could be wrong. Let me read again.
You might be right.
I got Friday.
Okay. That's an early game then. I think that's like a 5 a.m. or 8 a.m. game.
I don't want that. Well, what are we going to do at noon? It's Friday. These watch-alongs have been fun.
Yeah. Women play tomorrow?
Well, if they're not, I don't know what the hell they're doing over there. They haven't played in 2 days.
They're trying to get to their destination.
Yeah, probably catching the train there now.
Oh.
I believe they do play tomorrow.
Saturday morning is what the streets are saying.
Who Saturday morning?
The
women?
Yeah, the men. Because they play a morning game. I thought it was, they say it's Saturday. I thought it was Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. But okay.
I was just reading a tweet. I swear the tweet said Friday.
We've got Kings legend Isaiah Pinheiro on that Puerto Rican team.
He's one of my favorites of all time for being.
Yep.
I mean, for being.
Placer High School.
He's probably in my top five.
Yeah,
Kings players of all time.
The women
him
play.
And Philip Petrusev went at it today. They're like, they almost got into a scuffle.
Well, you see who starts for Greece at center?
The Papa G?
Yeah, his starter.
Well, Jorgis is a baller over there.
Yeah, he goes to work.
He's like super Jorgis over there. Like, he can cook.
Absolutely goes to work. Men play Saturday morning. Women play Sunday morning. Well, the women might play before that, too. Yeah, they play... They play tomorrow during the show.
Okay, good. And the damn tweet said Friday.
Damn it.
Stupid tweet.
Irresponsible tweeting.
That's what it is. Who would irresponsibly tweet? Goodness sakes. 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm ready for that game, baby. Watch along tomorrow. D'Lo and
Casey. Who they got tomorrow?
Is it? It's B E L.
Yeah,
Belgium.
Yeah.
Belgium?
Guess so.
Yeah.
Belgium. Belgium. Yeah, they've lost three in a row. Oh, nope, they haven't. They've lost. Nope, yep. They've lost three in a row.
Oh.
Hasn't gone well for Belgium in the Olympics lately. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, are you ever doing another Kings Beat podcast happy hour virtual? Because yeah, I think you should invite Tim Bontemps because I want to talk to him.
Oh, okay. I could reach out to Tim. That might work.
Ask Tim Bontemps about the dreaded pick swap of 2031.
No, he got to answer that. He said it's the most valuable asset in that trade.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh. Man.
Yeah.
Come
That's
on.
Tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough look.
Yep.
Whew.
Oh, Tim Bontemps. No, okay, I interrupted you. Are you really doing one?
Yeah, we're supposed to do it next week.
Oh.
We did one like a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you did, yeah. But you said you were kind of easing back into things, and you know, I was just wondering if we're getting the big.
Yep. Yeah, I might be able to reach out. It depends if Tim is in Paris still.
Paris?
Oh, I didn't know
if he is.
There.
He might not be, but he also very well could be. Okay. So,
all right, we'll be on the lookout for that. Don't forget, just because he's a big-time, full-time radio host now doesn't mean he still doesn't drop the Kings Beat newsletter. Make sure you head over to kingsbeat.com. Become a premium subscriber over there. That way you could be a part of the happy hour and ask Tim Bontemps why he's crazy. So, whenever
why
Tim
do you
Bontemps.
Hate the Kings?
Yeah, why do you hate the Kings would be a great question.
I don't want to hate the Kings.
That would be a great question to start. We appreciate you so much for being with us. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. beginning with the Insiders. On Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes. Come on, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.